Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, everybody, before we get started, if you are new to Backseat Rider and you don't currently use the Lyft app to get around, just want to quickly make you aware of my promo code. Lyft, FYI, is not a sponsor of this podcast, has nothing to do with the content you're about to hear, but every Lyft driver gets a promo code, and I am no exception to that. My code is Backseat Rider, just all one word, just the name of this podcast, Backseat Rider. And if you punch it in when you sign up for Lyft, it is good for up to $50 in free ride credit. And if you use it, it also helps me out a lot. Also, before we get to the show, to another company who is a sponsor of Backseat Rider, and that is TrueCar. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what that stands for. But what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody, when all you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for that same car that you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or a used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
The U.S. Pacific Command has detected a missile threat to Hawaii. A missile may impact on land or sea within minutes. This is not a drill.
January 13th, 8:07 a.m. Hawaii time. That ballistic missile alert went out over radio, cell phones, and television.
If you are indoors, stay indoors. If you are outdoors, seek immediate shelter in a building. Remain indoors well away from windows. If you are driving, pull safely to the side of the road and seek shelter in a building or lay on the floor. We will announce when the threat has ended.
And it wasn't for 38 minutes that a second announcement came, clarifying that that first alert was a false alarm. 38 long minutes. Now, in the weeks since that false alarm, a lot has been made of what went wrong. The employee who evidently hit the wrong button, the flaws exposed in Hawaii's emergency alert system. But not a lot has been made of what those 38 minutes were like for thousands of Hawaii residents and tourists.
Yeah, like, there's this feeling in your body that I can't really explain.
The thoughts that may have flashed through their minds during that time span.
For whatever reason, and this probably isn't what you're supposed to do, but for whatever reason, I was focused on getting out of the building.
The people they decided to call just in case.
You know your parents' voice, and I could hear in her voice, like I could hear she was scared for us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Backseat Rider, the podcast where I drive a Lyft and whoever ends up in the backseat of my car becomes the cast of this show. And today, we are going to use the situation in Hawaii as a jump-off point and explore the following question with the passengers. Have you ever been in a situation where your life flashed before your eyes? And this week, I heard some pretty intense responses out on the roads. And I should say before we dive in that my passengers revisit, in some cases, some pretty traumatic territory in this episode. And so if you are a trauma survivor, please check out the show description before you dive in. I don't want to trigger any memories for folks that don't want those memories triggered. Okay, before we get to the passengers, I want to start out with that Hawaii situation and with a Chicago couple. These are acquaintances of mine who I arranged to drive from River North to the Chicago Auto Show one afternoon last week.
We were in Hawaii for our honeymoon. We had arrived 2 days prior, but the first day was basically get there and sleep. So we had one kind of full day under our belt. And the alert, you know, it happened in the morning. So that morning we woke up, we were in our hotel room, and we were actually just sort of having a lazy morning. You know, we slept in, we were taking our time, sort of just lounging, being lazy.
His and his wife's phones were both on silent.
The alert actually came on our phones, but because we were just lounging and not doing anything, we weren't even paying attention to our phones. So for several minutes that this alert went off, we were oblivious.
But suddenly, an announcement came via the hotel where they were staying.
And it said something along the lines of, you know, there's an emergency, you need to evacuate, do it in a calm manner.
Was it over a PA system?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, and it was...
like directly linked to the room.
It was
inside the
what,
room.
You know, I sort of thought it was a fire alarm.
I did too.
They didn't smell any smoke. They didn't see any smoke. And when they peeked out into the hallway, they didn't see anyone rushing or anyone panicking.
So we're thinking, okay, this is a fire, but it's not in our tower or on our floor. There just wasn't any great urgency at that moment, even though this alarm went off in our room, which is alarming.
Yeah.
But at the very moment, we are not in freak-out mode yet.
Okay.
Until...
yeah, so not long after that, we started to gather our things, and we were going to just kind of use this as an excuse to scoot out of the room and go get breakfast, what have you. And I grabbed my phone first and read the alert that said, you know, Hawaii, there's an inbound ballistic missile. This is not a drill. Seek shelter immediately. Took me a second, and that's when I immediately started to freak out.
He looked up. He didn't read it out loud. He just read it to himself and then looked up. And I could see the look on his face. And so that, I'm like, what? What's wrong? And
so
then I look at my phone.
I think I said some curse words and I showed her. I was like, look at this. And that's when the panic set in.
That was the first moment of panic for us, for sure.
And that's when we saw... and started to panic, and...
I mean, literally started to shake.
Yeah,
like, there's
so,
this feeling in your body that I can't really explain.
We grabbed our things, and some of the things we grabbed weren't even... You know, it's like, what do you grab? sort of. Threw shoes on, and we were at the end of the hall... and so we were right next to the stairwell. So when we walked out, that's when there was like a crowd of people heading towards us. So we had no choice. We kind of got pushed into the stairwell.
Yeah.
And, you know, once we got in there, it was crowded. There was definitely panic. There was confusion. There was people crying.
It was hot.
Yeah. And, I mean, I know for me, I was... for whatever reason, and this probably isn't what you're supposed to do, but for whatever reason, I was focused on getting out of the building. I just felt claustrophobic in that stairwell, and I, you know, it's probably safer to be in there when a missile hits, I guess, but I just was, I wanted out.
We were really in a waiting period there. There are people ahead of us, there are people below us, so it's not like we could really crash through. I mean, at this point, everybody's gathered in the hotel is gathering in the stairwells. So we're packed in a stairwell and just sort of waiting.
Waiting. And the husband's first instinct was to hop on Twitter, where he saw one unconfirmed report that it was a false alarm. But at that point, hotel security was still keeping everybody inside.
Nobody, except for his Twitter person, has told us officially, like, this is not real. So there's no sense of calm yet.
Yeah, and so you're just still in this stairwell with other vacation people.
Mm-hmm. Right, strangers.
Okay. Okay, what happened then?
Well, before, I don't know if this was before or after you saw your alert, but while we were waiting there, we both called our parents. So,
yeah,
so I called my mom, he called his mom, and we're telling them, we're explaining what's going on. I mean, I know I called my mom, and initially she's like, hey, you know, happy to hear from me. Her jolly voice, and then I say, okay, well, listen, here's what's happening right now. We just got an alert on our phone that said a ballistic missile is headed toward Hawaii and we're stuck in a stairwell. And my mom pretty much tried to keep her cool and tried to keep me calm.
What did she say?
I don't remember exactly what she said, but the overall sentiment was, you know, we'll just keep calm, you know, follow the crowd or wherever you are and just stay calm.
I called my mom. She was in a department store. And the same thing. It was, hey, how's your honeymoon going? And I said, are you on Twitter? Because I thought maybe there was stuff going on with it. I said, are you on Twitter right now? She said, no, why? I said, well, just so you know, we got an alert that there's a ballistic missile headed here. And, you know, we're in our hotel. And she immediately panicked and started crying and said, oh my God. And I tried to just explain, like, you know, here's what's going on. Mel and I are waiting to hear. But that, I mean, it still just was ultimate, like, panic and crying.
What'd you tell her during that exchange then? And what did she tell you?
I just said that I think that it's a false alarm, but we're not sure. And we're waiting. And I could, you know, it was just like terror in her voice. She just said, oh my God, like, I can't believe this. It wasn't until later, when I talked to her later on, she explained to me that she was most upset at the fact that we were in this position and we were upset and we didn't know what was going on. It wasn't, I mean, it was obviously like I could lose my child and my daughter-in-law, but it was also, they are panicked, and that for her was very emotional, I think.
I think even though my mom, so I think it's safe to say your mom was more obviously freaking out a little bit more than my mom, but you know your own parents' voice, and I could hear my mom trying to be strong. Like, I could, she wasn't freaking out, and she wasn't saying, oh my God, like, do this and okay, but you know your parents' voice, and I could hear in her voice, like, I could hear she was scared for us, but she was just trying to stay strong for me. So, I mean, you say the obvious. I mean, you say we told each other we love each other, and when we got off, I just said, you know, I will keep you posted, but I love you. I mean, really, for all intents and purposes, until you know that's not, we knew that this wasn't real. I mean, that could have been the goodbye call.
The goodbye call. And that's a phone call most of us are lucky enough to have never had to make. And when you think about it, there's really not too many situations in life that might call for it. But this week, the Lyft app paired me with a man whose story comes close.
I mean, the worst thing that I think has ever happened was on Valentine's Day, actually, and it was back home in Baltimore, where I'm originally from, and our house got robbed, and I was home.
This happened 18 years ago, when this passenger was 21 years old. And my question during our ride together was kind of a buzzkill because he and his coworker had gotten in the back seat. They were in a really good mood. They were riding high from this presentation that they had just given at a fancy hotel about flower arranging. They're actually both employees of a flower company. Back to what happened, though. This took place in his old house just north of downtown Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, I was home. It was Valentine's Day. I was just kind of, I lived with a boyfriend at the time, and you know, I was home during the day because I wasn't working that day, and you know, kind of get in the house together and listen to music and whatever, and I thought I heard a knock on the door, so I go downstairs, and there was a knock on the door, and I looked through the peephole, and there was someone standing there with a box that said flowers on it. I was like, someone got me flowers. So I opened up the door, not even asking who is it or anything like that. I just saw the flower box. I opened up the door, and literally there were three guys with him. They pushed through and tied me up onto the ground, took all my jewelry, took all the money out of my pockets, went through the entire house, robbed the whole house, and then just left me there.
He says they left him there, tied up on his living room floor for a total of about a half hour while those four men ransacked the house.
Yeah, I mean, it was so fast, but it was like, okay, this is not a flower delivery, and like, why is there four people here? But it was just, I mean, everything went really fast, and you know, just waiting, you know, I called my boyfriend, I called family, I called whoever, called the police, called everyone at the same time, you know, and I was so, I called my boyfriend first, and he was like, why didn't you call the police first? And I was like, because you're my security, yeah. You know, like, you're the closest person to me at this moment, like, of course I'm going to call you first, I'm not going to think to do that, didn't know what to do, because it was just not something that you would expect to, it's that intrusion of being in your own home, and having that happen inside your own home.
Were you on, like, the floor of your entryway?
It was a house. Yeah, it was a house. So, you know, it was a two-floor home. But, yeah, I opened the front door and then just pushed in, closed the door behind them.
Were they armed?
Yeah.
With?
Guns, yeah.
Did you live in a bad neighborhood? Was this
not
typical of the neighborhood?
No, not at all. I mean, it was Mount Vernon in Baltimore. I would compare it to maybe, like, it's like a boys' town. Sort of Lakeview kind of area. So not a high crime area, not a particularly unsafe area that you would think that during the middle of the day someone's going to do kind of a home invasion sort of thing.
Now, when I was on the news, we covered a lot of home invasions that didn't, not that this one ended well because you guys got robbed and you were traumatized, but you survived.
Yeah.
There are ones that become deadly.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you remember going through your mind when you were on the floor tied up?
I really was scared to death. I was not, you know, you wonder, like, would it have been better if I just tried to, like, resist or not let them in the house? But, you know, there's four people against one person. I'm not going to be able to hold the door. And, like, all those thoughts of, like, well, maybe I could have pushed them out, or maybe I could have done that, or maybe you shouldn't have answered the door, but why would you suspect that that was going to happen? You know, that's not the way that I think people are, it's not natural to think that way, to be that suspicious all the time. If you open the door, if you look out the peephole and you see a guy with a box of flowers, you think there's a guy with a box of flowers. You don't think, oh, there's five guys behind him with a gun. You know, you would just assume that it is for face value.
Your life really does flash before your eyes, but when something like that is happening, like.
That's his coworker chiming in right there. This is a young man who, when he got in the car, had a lot of his face covered up with a hoodie, almost like he was trying to hide. But by this point in the ride, he'd taken off his hood, and I could see his neck covered in tattoos. It turns out he had survived a very intense incident himself that happened just last year in Humboldt Park. That is the largely Puerto Rican neighborhood on the northwest side of Chicago.
Yeah.
I went to go pick my family up from a restaurant. My father, my daughter, and my girlfriend were at this restaurant on California before Division. And I hop out of my car. I just got out of work. I hop out of my car, and I'm going to go pick them up. And there's a guy walking with his family. And obviously he was gang related, so he asked me, like, where I'm from, or what, you know, like, he asked me, the question he asked is, are you good? And I said, yeah, I'm good, you know, like, I'm good. And he's like, where are you from, and this and that. And I'm like, I seen him with his kid and his wife, and I'm like, bro, you're with your family, like, keep it pushing. And I told him just like that, keep it pushing. He got so mad that he came up to me, and I thought maybe he had a knife or something, and he goes in his back pocket, and he literally pulls a gun to my head. And he says, literally, he says, I will blow your shit back right here. And I'm like, literally right then and there, my eye, like my life, literally, I seen a newspaper. This is what I seen. I seen a newspaper and I seen young man killed just out of work, like young man killed on California and Division for no reason.
Yeah.
Like picking up, like I seen everything. I seen like my daughter growing up. Like I've never, it's like a movie. It's like you think, oh, does that really happen? But it does happen. Like you literally, your life flashes before your eyes. And I literally, all I remember was seeing a newspaper. That I don't know why, but I literally seen a newspaper and it was like a title, like young man dead Humble Park area. Like it was just, it was so scary. It was ridiculous. I just got out of work. I'm going pick up my family and I'm like, this is crazy. Like I'm working. Like everything's going so good for me. And then something like this happens. And I'm like, why did this happen to me? Like, yeah. You can't do anything about it. But it's like, I asked myself, like, what did I do wrong for this guy with his family to like approach me? I'm like, what did I do wrong? Like, and all I could think was, as soon as like that movie flashed in my mind, I thought I had to talk. I have to speak. I have to say something. And I told him, you're going to kill me in front of this bar? I said, you're going to kill me in front of your son? My daughter's inside. Like, you're going to kill me right here in front of this bar? And he puts his gun away and he goes, shake my hand. And I told him, no, I'm not going to shake your hand. Like, you just tried to, I don't trust, like, no, you just tried to shoot me. There's no way I'm, like, I was so lost. Like, I've been here my whole life. I know it's nothing pretty. There's some, you know, there's some areas where it's not pretty. But I just, Humble Park has changed so much. And I thought, like, I'm right here on Division. Like, there's nothing to worry about. I'm picking up my family. I know I have some tattoos, but like I'm not known anywhere. I'm not gang affiliated. Like I work for a flower shop. Like what? Like I asked myself, like, what did I do wrong? But there's nothing you did wrong. It was just like wrong place, wrong time.
Notice in the heat of the moment, both these guys asked themselves what they did wrong. And the victim of the home invasion actually wound up moving away as soon as he could after the robbery. Says he could not bear walking past the spot on the living room floor where he had been tied up.
I mean, you don't feel safe at home anymore. Like, home is where you're supposed to feel safe and secure, and you definitely do not, you know. We moved. But
did you move because of that?
Yeah. Yeah. And not necessarily, we didn't move out of the area, really. We just moved from that house. We were just like, nope.
And now to the follow-up to his coworker's story, which is in some ways scarier. It turns out that wasn't the only encounter he had with his attacker.
Okay, so that happened. He was on the news later on for killing a older man downtown. I don't know if you remember that story. There was an argument, something about some religious, they were passing out religious pamphlets, and it was right on Michigan, and he ended up getting into an argument with this older man, and he killed him. He shot him.
Yeah.
The same guy.
The yeah. same guy.
How did you know he was the same guy?
Because one day I walked into the barber shop on Division where I go get my haircut, and my barber's cutting his hair. And instantly, my barber's like, hey, he, like, embraced me. You know, we're very good friends. He embraced me like, yes, you're here. And I just instantly turned around and walked out the barbershop. And he's blowing me up. He's calling my phone. And I'm just like, what do I do? What do I do? This guy's sitting in that chair. I left. And when he asked me, he's like, why'd you leave like that? And I'm like, remember the guy I told you approached me with a gun? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, well, that was him. And so he calls me, like, 2-3 weeks later, like, hey, like, he's arrested. And I'm like, who? And he's like, the guy who I was cutting his hair, the guy who tried to shoot you. And I was like, are you serious? And he was in the paper, like karma. Like, you know, I didn't do anything. I didn't call the cops. I didn't retaliate. I didn't do anything. I let it be. And I feel like karma's real. Like,
is he in prison now?
Yes, for murder. Yeah.
Coming up, more life or death moments from this week's passengers, including a near miss on an amusement park ride.
And I didn't want to do it. My friend, he kept saying, come on, y'all should do it, y'all should do it. I did it before. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Ain't no way in hell I would ever get on nothing like that. He influenced us. I did it.
And an out-of-body experience following a near-fatal crash.
Yes, and they said the impact was so bad that the ceiling caved in. If I had my seatbelt on, the metal would have sliced my legs off.
Those stories in just a moment, but first, If you haven't joined up with me and other listeners of this show in the Backseat Rider community on Facebook, please do so. I have put the link in the show notes, and that is where listeners like yourself are sharing their own answers to Backseat Rider questions and where I post some behind-the-scenes stuff. And I'd love for you to check that out. Again, it's in the show notes. And also, if you haven't signed up for Lyft yet, please do so using my promo code. That'll get you $50 in free ride credit. I put the code in the show notes as well. I also want to take a quick second to tell you about one of the sponsors making it possible for me to bring you this podcast for free in 2018, and that is Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list, drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Well, here's an idea. Let's add save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Hey, this is Jordan Harbinger. I used to host the Art of Charm podcast, but now it's time for something new. The Jordan Harbinger Show. Did you know you can be entertained and actually get a boost in your life at the same time? On this show, we dig into the superpowers of the world's most interesting thinkers and top talents. Then we deliver them to you right into your ears. But I get it. We're not all superheroes. That's why we give you their blueprint so you can live what you listen. After 1,000 interviews, learning 5 languages, and getting arrested in a country that doesn't even exist anymore, I'm now more ready than ever to introduce you to The Jordan Harbinger Show. Listen free to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room. Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Similar to the JFK assassination for my parents' generation, most of us remember exactly where we were on 9/11.
I mean, it was scary for everybody, but it was, yeah, it's definitely life-changing.
This woman, now in her late 20s, was in middle school at the time. And during our car ride from the north side of Chicago out to O'Hare, she told me that the reason she brought up 9/11 when I asked her about the Hawaii situation is because of where she was that morning.
I grew up military, and so when 9/11 happened, my dad was still in the Air Force. My mom worked for a government contractor, so they were both fairly high, like security clearances, you know, things like that. And we were stationed in Omaha, Nebraska, which is where our Strategic Air Command used to be, and, you know, it's... You hear the stories about it's like 50 levels underground, and supposedly that's where they like fly the president in situations like that and everything. So I remember when 9/11 happened, I was in sixth grade, and you know, I came in actually from doing like crossing guard, and it was on the TV and everybody's crying because it's a military community. So, and that was the only time I wasn't necessarily scared for myself. I mean, there were definitely talks of like them targeting Omaha and the base and everything, but I was more so just scared for my parents because I knew that they, you know, if there was going to be a target or anything, or like a domestic attack, like I knew that they would be connected to that whole string of events, and that was really scary. Because I remember, you know, even just, like, driving, my mom came and picked me up from school, and just, like, driving home, you know, you're on the base, you're passing the base, like, it's, if somebody bombed the base, like, where were we gonna go? You know, there's not, a basement can't help you. So, that, I would say that would be the only time that I felt anywhere even close to what I'm sure those people were feeling.
Maybe what she felt that morning wasn't in the same league as fearing an inbound missile or being tied up by armed robbers or being held at gunpoint. But everyone I talked to this week has known that life or death feeling at least one time, and that becomes their benchmark. So for this passenger, this next guy, he's 21 years old. He's a waiter. He was on his way to work that day. His moment happened on a ride at Six Flags Great America. That's a theme park about 45 minutes north of Chicago.
It's called the Daredevil, and it's like you're laying flat. It's like a big, tall bungee jump or something, and you're laying flat. And it was three of us, me and my two friends and my guy, and we had to lay flat, and they lift us up all the way in the air. Like, it was so high up, and when they do that, they drop you, but you have to pull the lever yourself. And the thing is, it's two levers. You can pull the wrong lever and you can pull the right lever. If you pull the wrong lever, the thing is going to release and you can fall and die. So you have to know which lever to pull. They tell you which one to pull. But my friend, her slow self, almost pulled the wrong lever while we was up there. She almost pulled the wrong one. And I'm like, no, that's not the right one. It's at Six Flags. You gotta sign a waiver and everything to ride it. It's so scary. It just felt, when you're falling, you feel like you're just falling a free fall.
How could they get away with that, having a lever?
Yeah, it's one lever. They tell you, they say, do not pull this lever because this lever it can release.
You probably heard my skepticism that Six Flags could have possibly have a ride equipped with a right lever and a wrong lever. And after talking to this guy a little bit more, we both agreed that looking back, it was probably one of the ride operators trying to scare him and his friends even more.
And I didn't want to do it. My friend, he kept saying, come on, y'all should do it. I did it before. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Ain't no way in hell I will ever get on nothing like that. He influenced us. I did it.
In 1999, I was in a car accident on Western and 79th. In the back seat.
I picked up this woman from a near West Side elementary school. It was a full after school pickup line situation, so I was among dozens of other cars. And she hopped in the back seat with her fourth grade son. She's 40 years old now, and the accident that she brought up happened when she was 22.
It was me, my family, all of us was in a car. We was coming from a family gathering. We were going, and my uncle decided, let's make some omelets. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. So my aunt, he said, okay, so it was my uncle and his friend in the front seat, and we dropped everyone else off. His daughter wanted to go, but I was like, no, don't let her go. I'll just ride with you. So all three of us, me, my uncle, and his friend, and we decided to go to the store at 2 in the morning. And while we were driving, it was in the wintertime, and we was making a left turn, and the car, I don't know, all I remember is like yelling, watch out, and I just woke up in the hospital. I seen a bright light and just woke up in the hospital.
That's all you remember.
Yes, and they said the impact was so bad that the ceiling caved in. If I had my seatbelt on, the metal would have sliced my legs off. And my uncle, the passenger was in the front with his best friend, was knocked into the seat with him, so they couldn't tell who was driving. He had a broken neck, and my uncle had a broken, if he would have sneezed, his eye would have popped out because from the airbag. And all they were saying, my uncle was screaming like, where's my niece? And he just seen me out on the street because they said either some civilians pulled me out, or something. I don't remember. I know someone pulled me out the car because they thought it was going to explode or something.
So if you had, so you did not have a seatbelt on.
Mm-mm.
And if you had, that would have not
amputated my legs. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So to this day, do you know whose fault it was?
It was the person coming from the other direction. He ran the light. Rushing to go to a store. And he ran the light. Him, his girlfriend car, they didn't have no injuries. They just had a little fender bend in the front. But the way they hit our car, they was traveling really fast because they spun us and our car was on a curb.
And so do you know if alcohol was involved?
I don't know. Mm-mm.
And what were your injuries?
I had a broken pelvic and I had like a big lump under my neck. And I had like several scratches on my face. So I had to learn how to walk.
You had to go to physical therapy mm-hmm. and relearn how to walk.
Yeah, because I had a broken, fractured pelvic bone.
And what was that experience like? How many months did it last, and how hard was it to regain your ability to walk?
It took me several months to learn how to walk, but it was very painful. That pain, it was so hard. And my aunt had to take my pain medication from me because I was, like, taking it all the time, so she took it from me. She's like, you gonna focus and learn how to walk. So I had a therapist come to the house. It was hard for me. I don't even drive to this day. I want to learn how to drive, but I haven't really pushed myself to go learn how to drive, but...
Is that why we're in a lift right now?
Yeah. I'm gonna learn, though, because I'm a nurse and I want to go back to school, but, it's going to take a little bit because every time, even when I'm in a car with my sister, I jump a little bit.
Almost 20 years later, she has still not learned how to drive.
What was the psychological impact of that accident on you in the short term and in the long term?
That I hope that I made the most out of my life because I know other people say they don't see out-of-body experience, but I know I did. I knew I was in an accident before they told me because I seen myself on the table. So it altered me with driving. Like, I'm very cautious. If I drive, I'll probably be really slow, and I'm going to be looking at everyone. But I think it altered me from prohibiting me from learning how to drive because my sister, she's driving. I keep saying I'm going to do it, but I just don't do it. I procrastinate so bad. So I haven't done it yet.
And when you say you had an out-of-body experience, I've heard about this before, mm-hmm. where you can see yourself.
I seen myself.
So will you describe exactly what that's like?
I seen myself, like, on the table, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I thought I was dead. Because my sister, they did have to jump my heart a little bit. I forgot what it's called, but they had to do that. But I seen myself laying on the table.
They didn't even from above?
Uh-huh.
Like, from the ceiling?
I seen everybody around me, and I'm looking at myself on the table. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
For some of my other backseat riders this week, their life and death moments also had lasting psychological impact.
I mean, I guess that's the closest to a near-death experience that I've gone through. And it was really rough. I mean, I was really jumpy for a long time after that. Like, any loud noise, any car backfiring, like, I was very, very shooken.
His coworker next to him, this is the one who was held up at gunpoint, also had what sounds like PTSD.
The short term was, like, so jumpy. So, like, you never know. You know, like, I thought this guy was with his family. Like, mm-hmm. he was literally with his girlfriend, and she was pushing a baby in a stroller. So, to this day, I don't second guess anything. I don't take anybody's kindness for weakness. Like, I never know. You never know who's capable of what. And I just feel like I live by that now. Like, you don't go out and try to test people and, like, push people's buttons, because you just never know what somebody is capable of. And, like, he could have, if he shot that old man downtown, why am I so lucky? Like, he could have instantly just ended my life there. And I would, I mean, that, like I said, it's crazy. I think about it all the time because I feel like, why? Like, that guy lived his whole life, and I think he was, like, 58 years old, just to get shot by this kid. And I'm like, what makes me so special?
Before we go, some final thoughts from our honeymoon couple. These were the ones put through the ringer by that false alarm in Hawaii. And similar to some of our other passengers this week, they as well were left with some life lessons.
This happened in a place that a lot of people call paradise, and I would just say it was the beginning of our trip, and so I think we meant to do this before, but even more so since this incident happened, like, just take moments throughout the whole trip to sort of, like, take it in, like, take life in, take in this break that we have, take in the beauty of Hawaii, just, I think, cliche, but just appreciate everything that you're seeing and going through in life a little bit more. And your family and your loved ones, and just appreciate the one you're with.
If you would care to share your own life or death moment, like I mentioned before, please join up with me and other listeners in the Backseat Rider community on Facebook. That is where I will be starting a discussion thread. And to find us, just search Facebook groups for Backseat Rider Community, request to join, and one of the moderators or myself will approve you. Also, before I go, one last reminder to use my promo code on the Lyft app, $50 in free ride credit, and the code is Backseat Rider, all one word. This podcast is edited by Bob Gilmartin. Also, thank you so much to WTTW and WTTW.com for their support of Backseat Rider. Look for new episodes of this show every Wednesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app. And if you have an iPhone, make sure you are subscribed on Apple Podcasts.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.